God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you again today about fearing the future. Have you ever thought what a tremendous mercy it is that God does not give us much of a preview of coming attractions? Can you imagine what it would be like when you look back now on some of the hard things in your life? What it would have been like if you had known in advance, years in advance, that they were going to happen? You wouldn't have had the grace or the strength to bear it. God does not send us into a path of righteousness. It says in Psalm 23, He leads us in paths of righteousness. It's very different from sending, isn't it? I've heard of some parents who send their children to Sunday school and church. Wouldn't it be far better if they took the children, led the children there themselves, set the example? God leads us one day at a time. Do try to remember that. One day at a time. And for that day, there is the exact portion of daily bread provided for us. The exact things on that platter that God is handing to us, which He has chosen and measured out meticulously. He leads us one step at a time, one day at a time. Psalm 27, which is one of my favorites, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. For in the day of trouble He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy." I'm skipping over a few verses. Verse 11, "Teach me Your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Those who have gone through unimaginable sufferings in prison camps are among the multitudes of those who learn to thank God for those very agonies. Walter Chizik, who was in a Russian labor camp for years, wrote this, "I was brought to make a perfect act of faith, an act of complete self-abandonment to God's will, of total trust in His love and concern for me and His desire to sustain and protect me, by the experience of a complete despair of my own powers and abilities that had preceded it. I knew I could no longer trust myself, and it seemed only sensible then to trust totally in God. It was the grace God had been offering me all my life, but which I had never really had the courage to accept in full. I had talked of finding and doing His will, but never in the sense of totally giving up my own will. I had talked of trusting Him, indeed I truly had trusted Him, but never in the sense of abandoning all other sources of support and relying on His grace alone." Someone may be listening to me today who realizes that you have absolutely no other support left. Maybe you've tried everything. And this is the opportunity to find God's grace in a total abandonment of your own will and of your own frantic searching for other forms of support. God will give it to you. He will give you His peace, His strength, His grace, His protection for today. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't belong to you. Remember, God is already there. It's His business, not yours. He says, take no thought for tomorrow. Darlene Rose, who was in a Japanese concentration camp during World War II, wrote this. Had those 8 years been revealed to me in one panoramic view that misty gray January morning in 1938, would I have had the courage to board the ship? I wonder. Through the intervening years, tempestuous winds of gale force have buffeted me. Waves of tidal proportions have threatened to carry me under or dash me upon the rocks. But knowing now what I did not know those many years ago, with C.H. Spurgeon, I can thank my God for every storm that has wrecked me upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Thank God for every storm that has wrecked me upon the rock, Christ Jesus. When my brother Dave was very small, we spent a week at the seaside in Belmar, New Jersey. In vain, my father tried to persuade Dave, a little boy, to come into the waves with him and jump, promised to hold him safely and not allow the waves to sweep over his head. My father took me, I was only a year older, into the ocean, and he showed Dave how much fun it would be. Nothing doing. The ocean was terrifying. Dave was sure that it would mean certain disaster, and he couldn't trust his father. On the last day of our vacation, he gave in. He was not swept away. His father held him as promised, and he had far more fun than he could have imagined. Whereupon he burst into tears and wailed, "Why didn't you make me go in?" An early lesson in prayer often comes to us through an ordeal of fear. We face impending adversity, and we doubt the love, wisdom, and power of our Heavenly Father. We've tried everything else, and in our desperation, we turn to prayer. Of the primitive sort, here's somebody who's reputed to be able to do anything. The great question is, can I get him to do what I want? How do I twist his arm? How can I persuade a remote and reluctant deity to change his mind? When the people of Israel were encamped at Pi Hahiroth and saw the Egyptians coming after them, they were sure they were looking death in the face, and it was all Moses' fault. They said to him, "As if there weren't enough graves in Egypt, that you brought us out here to die." "Don't be afraid," said Moses. "Stand by. The Lord will fight for you if you'll just be quiet." You remember the story of their deliverance. The sea was rolled back. Israel marched through it dry shod. And when the Egyptians pursued them, the sea swamped their horses, their chariots, and the whole army. Not even one of them remained. The song of victory Moses and Israel sang reveals their recognition not only of the strength, majesty, and wonder-working of the Lord, but of His loving kindness. For the Lord is always kind. Be not blind. Be not blind. Poor Dave, my little brother, his father could have forced him to come into the water, but he could not force him to relax and enjoy it. As long as the child insisted on protecting himself, saving the life he was sure he would lose, he could not trust the strong love of his father. He refused to surrender. In this simple story, we hear echoes of the most ancient story of the two who, distrusting the word of their father, fearing that obedience to him would ultimately bar them from happiness, chose to repudiate their dependence on him. We're talking about Adam and Eve, of course. They chose to repudiate their dependence. In other words, it was a declaration of independence. And what was the result? Sin, death, destruction, suffering, for the rest of the race, for the rest of time. Learning to pray is learning to trust the wisdom, the power, and the love of our Heavenly Father, always so far beyond our dreams. He knows our need and knows ways to meet it that have never entered our heads. Things we feel sure we need for happiness may lead to our ruin. Things we think will ruin us, for example, the chariots of Egypt, the waters of the sea, or the little waves in Belmar, New Jersey, if we believe what the Father tells us and surrender ourselves into His strong arms, bring us deliverance and joy. The only escape from self-love is self-surrender. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. Dwell in my love, said Jesus. If you heed my commands, you will dwell in my love, as I have heeded my Father's commands and dwell in his love. I have spoken thus to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy complete. My Father knew better than his small, fearful, stubborn son what would give him joy. So does our Heavenly Father. When I have resisted him, I have cheated myself, as my little brother did. When I have yielded, I have found joy.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.